meeting is not going to take long. We have a report to consider, Northern Cape report, oversight visit report to consider. And it's also not going to take long, about 30 minutes. And that will be the business of the day. Without any waste of time, honourable members, welcome to the meeting. Ndate Zungu, Ndate Museneke, Ndate Nkuna, Ndate Matebula, welcome to the meeting. And from the PMG, welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Without any waste of time, honourable members, PAPCO is going to make its representation. They indicated that they are here to come and introduce themselves as a new entity, a black entity. And I would like them to introduce themselves, and after we'll also introduce ourselves, and then we'll start with their presentation. Welcome, Dr. Zungu, over to you. We are introducing.
Maybe
that's
just like our chair.
I wasn't aware.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you, Madam Chair. Maybe let me start by saying we welcome this opportunity to present to this August committee. My name is Joe Matebula. I'm the CEO of Manaka Property Investments, and I'm also a shareholder in that company, and I'll ask my other members to introduce themselves before we continue.
Morning, everybody. My name is Mike Nkuna. I'm the chair and the owner of Masingita Property Investment Holding. I'm the deputy chair of PAPCO.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Edith Mosanenge, CEO of Aim Sharp Property, and also.
Thanks. Morning, Madam Chair, and morning to all. My name is Sidise Musaneke. I'm the CEO of Encha Properties and a member of BACPO, one of the founding members of BACPO. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Bruce Zungu, the Secretary of BEPCO, Chief Investment Officer at Motseng Investments Holding, and a shareholder. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Should we proceed?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm Catherine Nobuda, Chairperson of Public Works Portfolio Committee.
Good morning, honorable members. Thanks, Chair. My name is Doris Nompendulo Ngwana from Gauteng, the member of Public Works Portfolio Committee. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Lennox Taylor. I'm a member of the Portfolio Committee from Eastern Cape. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Maggie Madlala, member of the committee from Gauti.
Aye, Sumama, County Link. Good morning. I am Nomatemba November, a member of this committee from Northern Cape. Sisters, over to you.
Thank you.
John Steenhuisen, I'm a member of the Portfolio Committee.
Paul Mwoni, from the Northwest. Member Portfolio Committee.
Thank you, honourable members. Baba Stoll, over to you, Baba Stoll.
Sasambonani, member of this committee.
Thank you, Baba. There are two apologies. One is from Rabbi Tapi, who's in Congo, observing elections that are going to take place within 2-3 weeks, and also from Gwanyamabila, who will join us later on. Over to you, Mr. Matibula.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair and the committee, and thank you for affording us this opportunity to make a presentation and introduce ourselves as the Black Association of Commercial Property Owners. We also acknowledge that you find it within your busy schedule to accommodate us. We are a newly formed association, and we are now on a roadshow to introduce ourselves as the Association of Commercial Property Owners, Black Property Owners. You would see in our delegation that we have brought the members of the committee, who themselves are not just executives in their companies, in their own right, they are shareholders in their own companies. The Black Association of Commercial Property Owners was formed in line with the President's recent call in September 2011 for black business to better organize themselves and articulate their vision, and in order to create sustainable black-owned and managed industrialists. The association was formed on the principle of unifying, articulating, and driving ownership transformation issues within the commercial property industry. We also acknowledge that recently there's been a foray of negative publicity and perception around black property people's participation in the commercial property industry. We believe that these perceptions and beliefs have a tendency to further marginalize the participation of black people as a whole. And this has an effect of stalling and distracting progress of real ownership transformation of property assets by black people in South Africa. Just for your information, Madam Chair, the South African property industry size by market capitalization is estimated to be worth between $850 billion and $1.2 trillion in 2011. However, the direct ownership of black people is less than $10 billion or 0.001%. We therefore, as a BEPCO, had the following founding members that we said the issue that need to be put on the agenda is the transformation of this sector and the extent to which this sector can play a role in terms of driving the economy going forward. The members of this committee and founding members are Mutsing Property Investment, a very well-established property investment company, Manaka Property Group, of which I'm the CEO, a very well-established property company, the Billion Group, Encha Group, Masingita Property Group, SHM Property Group, Ntwese Properties. We have since our founding been able to attract interest throughout the country. We have about 25 or so black property owning companies throughout the country who have expressed an interest to be members of our organization. We therefore are here, as I said, and I will hand over to our secretary to further continue with the presentation. We're here to introduce ourselves, and we say we bring a combined experience only on the 7 companies of no less than 70 years experience in the property sector, in the commercial property sector, office, industrial, and retail development. So we would want to welcome this opportunity. Over to you, Bruce.
Thank you. Thank you, Joe. BEPCO was founded with a clear vision to become the optimum black voice for sustainable ownership transformation in the commercial property sector. Our goal, simply put, is to drive actual tangible transformation in the property sector, to increase the number of black landlords that own and operate their own properties, lobby, educate, advise, engage with African government on property transformation issues, lobby, educate, advise, and engage with financial institutions on property finance and creating capacity for existing and new black landlords in the industry. It's also to engage with various other property industry stakeholders and general public on property transformation issues. That we mean by we want to work closely with other groups such as CyBIB and to complement them and us, but BEPCO's main goal is to champion ownership transformation mandate. BEPCO aims to also to become the authoritative voice within SAPOA on behalf of CyBIB on ownership transformation issues. And the reason why we're harping so much on this whole idea of ownership transformation issues is there are various real mandates that we aim to drive. As we've said earlier in the presentation, that there has been a negative media and public perception on government leases, the role of black landlords has hurt the image of black participants in the property sector, and hence the credibility and the viability of our collective efforts. There is a current mindset that black landlords and our government are corrupt in their actions and practices, and these must be challenged and corrected. There is an outright ignorance of existing government policy on BEE and transformation in the property sector. The established players within the sector, they continue to undermine the transformation laws in the government lease portfolio segment. We believe that there is a need to articulate, promote, and assist our government in the implementation of their policies within government lease portfolio, and this must be addressed directly. There is also a further need to protect and develop the availability of funding for black landlords. The significance of all of these challenges for black people, transformation, and overly used term these days, the economic freedom. Basically, property is the foundation of wealth creation in every single country across the world. Ownership of property forms the foundation and the only tool for control and influence in the property sector. This control by black people can be achieved without the assistance of established players or convoluted share-based schemes where black people become minority share owners. Banks are ready to fund this property sector, and they are ready and willing to fund government leases based on transparent and clear processes. The owners of property, they are the people that actually decide on the property value chain. Black owners, black people owning property shall equate onto the creation of a black supply value chain. By that, we actually mean that in the current sector, blacks continue to play a minority role. If you look within the property sector, you may ask yourself, why don't we have a black-owned security company of stature, or a black-owned architectural firm, a black-owned construction company that can rival the big players? The usual answer to that is that the people that decide on these contractual relationships are the people that own property. And so long as black people do not become direct owners of actual property, tangible ownership, will continue to play second fiddle and not be able to articulate ourselves within the space and create a real supply chain where black professionals and service providers can participate and enter the sector and stay there and actually grow. True transformation will come from owning assets and influencing the opportunities within the value chain. Direct property transactions are asset-based transactions, as opposed to other sectors where we see black players buying minority share options. When anybody acquires an actual property, you're actually financing an actual asset. It's an asset-based lending. You are able to go to the financial banks or use your own money to actually buy that actual asset that you actually control. And that becomes key in driving the transformation of the sector. I'll get on to the next slide. If you go to the next page, the property sector as it stands right now, it's actually one of the least transformed sectors in our country. The South African property market size, as we said earlier, is estimated between 850 billion rands and 1.2 trillion. However, the direct black ownership is insignificant at this stage. The South African listed property sector by market cap is approximately 140 billion rands. Black direct ownership of this listed portion is estimated at about 3%. If we look at the government lease portfolio, the South African government national lease portfolio at the national level consists of 3,335 leases. And our national government spends an amount approximate to 2.4 billion rands annually. This is the money which is spent on paying to private landlords, with an average rental per square meter of close to 400 rands. Of this lease portfolio, we estimate that less than 5% is currently being leased to BEE landlords or previously the disadvantaged people. Of the 2.4 billion spent, less than 120 million annually is spent on black landlords. This figure is becoming a lot more glaring when one starts to add the national leases, the provincial leases, and the municipal leases. And there, again, this number is an estimate of where we believe that at a national, at a gross level, our government spends close to 8 billion rands on private leases. And the question is, with so much spent on the actual private leases, how much of this is actually is targeted for black landlords, or what is the transformation story behind that? And we've looked at the various policies within Public Works. Within Public Works' own reports, if you look at the annual reports, their strategic plans, they had indicated that by 2012 they will be spending at least half of this amount that they are spending on private leases towards black participants. Now, obviously, where we are to date is a serious far cry from that. What we also realize is that the South African government is an integral player in the property sector, as most of the property assets within South Africa are actually owned by government through various agencies and the national government itself.
South African government and BAPCO. BAPCO aims to work with government to unleash locked value within the commercial value chain that will create jobs and wealth for South Africa. We believe that together with government, we can grow the overall SA property pie by creating new black owners within the property sector and creating value down the chain, where we start to put together in an enabling framework for new players and also other service providers to enter the property space. Property transformation will provide an effective ownership of real assets by black owners, thus empower, which is to give control to all. And this will especially be important to all various black participants, including women and youth and broad-based communities. Again, we also believe that we can work together to unlock the opportunities for black property owners in line with already established targets and goals by the South African government, especially within the public works framework. We would also like to work together to ensure that there's credibility, integrity of the government leases is actually protected and actually restored. As BAPCO, we strongly believe in sustainability, but also to follow due process and actually due courses in such a manner that the industry that we play in and the way that we want to play within the sector should always be transparent and actually credible, and it must speak to the actual delivery. How are we planning to support government key goals going forward? I think we also realize that we play and do exist in a framework where job creation becomes key. And as an association, we are ready to assist in creating jobs by having that ability to control our own destiny. We can champion various opportunities within the sector, and I think that we have various examples within our own groups where the individual companies of the founding members have created various jobs. I mean, if I use the company that I work for, which is Motseng, started probably 13 years ago in the property sector by three individuals. Today we employ over close to 400 people, and purely based on the fact that we've been able to control our own destiny, we've been able to own various properties and also have been afforded the opportunity to win business and contracts where we've been able to employ others. And the other members of the group have been doing work within the sector for the last 20 years, where they've created new opportunities from creating shopping centers, refurbishing buildings, building new buildings. So we as a grouping have been married onto that idea that as black operators, we need to create sustainable jobs. We also need to strengthen the economy by saving jobs, increasing regional participation. Again, as I said earlier, that we are currently involved in through the opportunities that we've seen through government leases, where we've been able to come in and revitalize the inner cities. The leases, the few leases that we've actually gotten thus far, where we've bought properties, we usually go in there, buy the property, and before we can actually agree on leasing it with government, we agree on a refurbishment program, which usually brings that asset from a
a D grade building onto an A or a B building grade. And that is what we believe that also helps to create jobs, but also is part and parcel of being active within the sector, where we are continuing to see the opportunities for job creation. We also believe that our mission is to create skills and grow skills, and we will want to continue to play that role of making sure that we work with government, with people like Cybeb, SAPOA, to make sure that we are continuing to create the portal to create, to train and upskill young people into the property sector. And we, from an environmental side, we also subscribed onto the Greening the Future projects, in that we support the initiatives to protect the environment and for our members to work with that mindset of making sure that in the construction, the redevelopment phase of all of our properties and services, that the goal of Greening the Future becomes core. Again, I think we truly are of the view that in order for us to achieve our goals and objectives, we need to work closely with government, we need to work closely with public works, we need to create the framework, hence our roadshows to engage with the various stakeholders. We truly believe that on our own we can never achieve what we can achieve working with our government and other stakeholders. I think at this stage I'll probably hand it back to Joe to just probably wrap up and summarize.
So, Madam Chair, thank you very much again for this opportunity. And as we said, ours is to introduce ourselves and to say to government, we are here. We believe that transformation within the property sector is non-negotiable. We believe that we can play a role in terms of engendering economic development and ensuring that this country is sustainable going forward. And we believe that you must now see the faces, if some of you had not seen the faces of the so-called people who are doing business with government, and we are not only doing business with government, we are proud of our history, that our combined history is that of having walked the streets, engaged in the sector. We have amongst ourselves very good experience and tales that we can give to you. And without taking your time, Chair, for me personally, for instance, I was moved by my deputy chairman when I was still working for government at some point in 2001, where I had to go and open his retail shopping center in Giani when there were very few investments coming into a distressed region such as Limpopo. From then onwards, he was opening a shopping center and was almost the first black man opening a shopping center for 15 million. It was a lot of money at that time. I took a conscious decision that this is one sector that I believe that South Africans and the majority of South Africans must play a role. And it is in that context that we believe that working together and jointly with government, we can make our effort to build our country. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Matebula. Honorable members, that's the presentation. Can we now engage with the presentation for clarity, questions, so that we can understand them better? Honorable Mungoni, you will be followed by Honorable Steenhuisen, Honorable Baba Magubane, Honorable Madlopa, Honorable Geila, and Honorable Ngwane. Wabasthole in that sequence.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. My question would be, why shall this association be black? Why shall it be a black association of commercial properties? Why shall it be not a South African kind of association of commercial properties? You will answer soon after we all ask questions.
Okay.
My view is that transformation cannot be black. It's not transformation in black. Blackness does not reflect transformation. You can harp on transformation, but still talking. You can harp on transformation, still being black or still being white. It has no color. Transformation must not be colorful. But the chairperson, my little worry is that how many members do you have? Because surely, I'm told, after the presentation, this is a fairly new organization. Now, is it a new organization such that it's only got the few that you want to see in the documentation, or there still other members outside? I will come back with other questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Stenhuizen.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Thank you to the presenters today. It was a very interesting presentation. And I think we all around the table share your concerns around, particularly the figures that you presented, around what appears to be a remarkable lack of transformation in this industry. And I think it is a concern going forward, and I think it must be the business of all of us to look at how we can address the situation. My questions relate mainly to how you see the differentiation between what BACPO and what SAPOA and what SAIBPP are doing, and how what's the differentiation roles that you see going forward, because I mean, SAPOA particularly I think is quite a big player in terms of the property industry, and are there problems with those organisations that that you feel you're not being heard or addressed properly in the established organisations? I also then just wanted to talk about membership, but Honourable Nguni's covered me. And then to say to you, I was asked a question, is your organisation limited to people based on skin colour, or if I was a property owner and felt like joining your organisation, would I be entitled to do so? Thanks.
Thank you. Reverend Maguban.
Thank you, Chairperson. I've got just a small question. I would want to read this sentence here. Banks are...
Page six.
Banks are ready to fund property transactions with long-term leases at 100%. The question is, as from the time immemorial, banks have been refusing to fund black people, and up to the moment they are reluctant to fund them. How good is this sentence here? Are we going to be convinced that the banks now they are relaxing, waiting for anybody to come and ask for money? If at all today, ShopRite checkers would say, Mr. Makubane, here is a butcher, here is my butcher, I'm giving it to you. You go to the bank so that you can get money, so that you can run this bank. Will the bank give me that money, or they are going to ask for security and other reasons unknown to me?
Honorable Emma Shapa. Thanks, Chairperson. Thank you very much for the presentation. I think really it covers the challenges that our country is still facing. But Chair, I want to check, my colleagues have covered me around the issue of other organizations in the same business, especially the black business companies. What is the relationship between this new PECO and the other organization? and also the gender representation around this particular issue, which is our country is pushing very much to say that at least we are pushing for 50-50 now, and as we are busy with the bill dealing with that particular issue, what is the gender representation in that company? And also the issue of the geographical spread across the country, because we are national government here, we want to know whether does it cover the spread of our country. And also the sentence that Bab Magubane has asked, I was trying to understand what does that mean, because our people, especially the black people, are still facing the challenge to access funds in the bank, especially around the issue of the collateral security and so on. That particular sentence, if it can be really unpacked, I was putting a question mark on it. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Madoba. Honorable Taylor.
Thanks, Jefferson. I think it's just a few clarities, but thanks for the presentation. You are right, we're sitting with a skewed economy, and property is a major problem. There's no transformation in it. That is the truth of the matter. Whether if we like it or don't like it, South Africa's economy is skewed. Property and land, unfortunately, is not in our hands now. Just clarity, that's all I want. Have you all got a constitution? Secondly, do you have a board members? Because one would believe that you'd have a board, and then you would have the people running your office, your organogram. Are you at that stage, or are you still going to that stage? Then, the selling price of property, sometimes you'll find that the prices are high, you know. And how do you find the markets at this stage? Because most of our people, let me put this in a proper manner. In the 60s, 70s, 80s, before our government took over, a white teacher could buy property in town. Civil servant, buy a house in town. But now we sit with a situation where our civil servants, even some of us here sitting here, it's not easy getting property in town because the prices are just pushed up. So how do you find the property prices? Then another one that I would like to know is how do you see, assist new entrants? There are people who want to get into the property market. And as the Honorable Member Dagmar Kubana was saying, some of them have got problems with banks getting loans or whatever, getting finance and so on. So is there any assistance that they can get from you? And then your membership, about how many memberships do you have at the moment? And what are your joining fees? And I think let me pause there. But as you said in your presentation here, most of our people buy shares. And you'll find those shares are sometimes 60-40. And some of them are used as fraud. That's the truth of the net of the market, whether if you like it. If you've got 40, I just buy you out and kick you out. Use you, kick you out. That's what's happening on the market. How do you handle that? Those are the few at the moment. Thank you.
Thank you, Awagila. Honorable.
Thanks, Chair. Mine is some are a question, clarity seeking questions, and others are just comments. I think I am covered by some of my colleagues on the issue of the banks, because really we still have a very serious problem there. Adding to that, I would like to know whether you operate nationally, but do you operate per province, and how, if one would like to, like my colleague said, they would like to join or be part of the this association, how does one get to join? And my comment about this the drive for transformation is that really it's been a sore point in our country. I remember when Comrade Minister Togo Titiza was she told us that all the government departments in the Free State, they've got leases under one certain Mr. Fondamero in the Free State. And I know of the fact that in Kokstad, almost all the government departments from the Eastern Cape and some from KZN, now that Kokstad falls under KZN, they rent under one white guy. I know he owns the spy, he owns property from one street to the next one. I mean, it's a reality. It is a reality that we still have very few. My other. Okay, work with government to unleash. Okay, the creation of sustainable jobs, especially on women and youth. I would like to have, if maybe already you have statistics on that. The revitalization of the inner city areas. I think, to me, that's very, very important and very, very crucial. Because we have a program here by National Department of Public Works of the National Youth Service, which is really not taking off the ground. I think one of the main objectives of that program was to train the youth to revitalize the government properties in all the cities. So if maybe you can assist us on that one, maybe or tell us how, or what is your role in that one? The greening, the promotion of the greening development. I hear what you're saying, but maybe just to assist us to understand as to how do you do it, how the how part of it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, our member, Honorable Stoli.
Thank you, Chair. I think most of my questions have been covered here. Yes. Only one which is left here on page 6. If they can just unpack it, because here they are talking about it. I think it's bullet 2, 4, 6, 7. Bullet 7, stroke 3. This control by blacks can be achieved without the assistance of established participation or share-based schemes. If they can unpack that one, because it doesn't tell us what does it say or means. And the other one that emphasizes on the one of the inner city revitalization. If they do have any plan for the revitalization, because most of associations, they are talking about that inner city will be revitalized, but they don't have any plan. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Stoli. Mama Madlala.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, on the very same page 6, on the rationale, you know, maybe some of us who are being educated here because we are not familiar to this industry. When they are saying the fourth bullet that the established players in the industry continue to undermine transformation laws in the government lease portfolio segment, do they mean the white business players or what? If they can just unpack that. Because we need to understand who are those players.
Thank you, Mama. Are we done? Do you want to make a follow-up, Senator? Okay, over to you.
I think that it should be important for the presenters to explain to us what effect a government lease has on terms of leverage, particularly with financial institutions, so that we can understand exactly, you know, the value that that government can bring to a building through a lease?
Chairperson of PARCO, in the City Press of the 9th of October, you made a statement where you accused your counterparts of trying to spook banks and creating a false perception that banks are milking the government building lease space. Can you expand on that so that we can understand it better? And also, in the same statement, Mr. Zungu indicated that without government intervention, the property sector will hardly see any real transformation besides the high-level box ticking currently taking place. What intervention are you referring to? Unpack that. And also, I'd like to know the composition of your organizations. Are there, how many women are there? Youth. Because we'll also like to see women taking part in the property, a playground. Thank you very much. Over to you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Oh, sorry, there's a follow-up.
The follow-up, Chairperson, I think when we look from this presentation and the other one that we received yesterday, there is no indication of disabled people here on this presentation, if they do have anyone.
Thank you. Over to you, Mr. Matamu.
Thank you, Chairperson. As I was saying, I would imagine that part of our roadshow is to also gather wisdom. And we believe that some of the comments that were made by honorable members were actually could be taken as fountain of wisdom, giving us pointers in terms of what are the sort of things that we also need to look at. I just wanted to refer you to there's a City Press on the City Press of the 13th of November, 2011. A certain David Mulocha writes, and I quote him, he says, "I find it strange that every transaction of an African is put on the front pages of our white-controlled media. Why don't these honorable journalists and their editors list everyone in the news, in their newspapers, doing business with government? Is doing business with government only right for a certain section of South Africans and very wrong for black people?" Close quote. I'm raising this, honorable member, in response to your issue about whether, why do we call ourselves Black Association of commercial property owners. As we sit here in our own individual capacities, we are members of the South African Property Association. Some of us are members of SIBIT. We are acutely aware that the government strategy in transformation has outlined that in order to effect transformation in this country, you must start with those that historically has not been given opportunities to play in this particular sector. As the figures are speaking for themselves, there is a strong case that those that are historically disadvantaged people, who happens to be black people, are the ones who are not the major beneficiaries in terms of the transformation of this key sector. And it is indeed true that part of the discussion that arose in September this year to begin to say what impact does black business organization play in terms of driving transformation in this country. It is important, therefore, that the black organizations come together. We are acutely aware that South Africa belongs to all who live in it, and we are very sure about that. But we have got issues that affect us as black property owners. that cannot be articulated directly within SAPO, that cannot be articulated directly within SIBEP. If you were to ask me, except for Mr. David Mulojwa, who we happen not to know, I have not found anybody who have raised an issue around the kind of issues we have presented to this committee, including serious research as to whether there is transformation within the property sector or not. So we are acutely aware of where this country is supposed to go, but we have an association that is an issue-based association and that try to address the interests of black property owners. And in our own right, we believe that we can play that role. So, hence we say Black Property Owners Association. In terms of our membership, the founding members are the ones that we have outlined there. As I said, we already have an interest of about 25 or so black property owning companies, because one of the key focus has been that you must own commercial property. It was a criteria to say in order for you to become a member. The other question refers to the spooking of the funding, the banks, by the transactions that has happened. What actually has happened is simple. Any black property owning company, if you present your deal to a private or to any bank in this country, what has happened in the last few months is that the scrutiny that you go through is not the same scrutiny that somebody who has been previously advantaged goes through when he has signed a lease with Pick n Pay. It's a matter of fact, it's on record. If you take a Pick n Pay lease and you go and present it into the credit committee in any bank, and you take a government lease and you go and present it to a credit committee in any bank, the scrutiny is not necessarily the same, which inherently means that being black and having obtained a government lease, there's some underhand dealing that might have come out and all that. And for us, who have been in the industry for a long time, and most of the people who are here, Madam Chair, you would find that maybe some of them don't even have more than 5 leases in government. But just to finance a transaction, you have to know who your mother is, what is the name of your cat, where do you stay, in which village were you born, where do you get this thing that you can even come and make a presentation that you want to buy a 250 million building, and all that. And we are saying that those issues need to be addressed, and we are saying it must be addressed on a business basis, honesty, transparency. We would want to make sure that our transactions can stand the test of the time. We are entrepreneurs in our own right, and we are not really seeking any favors in terms of that. As it relates to bank funding, you would know that when you have got any lease, and my other members would add on that, when you have got any lease that is a strong lease, including a government lease or what we will call a AAA rating blue chip company, a bank will easily finance that transaction. But when you have got a lease from Mr. Matevula, who only have got 2 cats, it may be that the banks may not be ready to finance your kind of transaction. So the reference of that statement is that government can play a major role if it wants to ensure that the youth, the disabled, the women form part of this sector. If there's a key focus to ensure that those people are able to have those strong leases, there's no way a credit committee of the bank would have a problem in financing that. The geographical spread of our membership, I think we, as we said, in terms of the 25 members, they are throughout the country. our view is to try and make sure that we reach as many people as possible to make sure that all property-owning black companies are part of us. And we continue to serve within SAPOA. Our Dr. Sedisi Museneke here is president-elect of SAPOA, for your information. But he is part of us because of the issues that faces us as black companies. In terms of the revitalization of the inner cities, and I'll leave the other issues to my fellow members, we as black companies, any time we do a transaction, an easy transaction, hence the issues that will come to your committee at times, if somebody who is established was owning a property that he has owned for the last 20 years, and he was charging 40 rand a square meter, honorable members, and we have to lease it to anybody, including to government, any person who moves into a building expect you to do refurbishment on that building. So if this building had a roof leaking, the lifts were not working, the whole infrastructure was deteriorating, you are expected to bring that building from a particular grade, maybe grade C, to a grade A building. So which means if you bought this building for 40 million, you may end up having to spend another 50 million in order to get the building to be in a user-friendly and usable condition. In order to do that, you cannot on the same time charge the 40 rand a square meter, which this previous owner was charging, because you are no longer selling. You are no longer selling the old existing building that was there, because you are actually giving in a new property. It's like if you take your car and it was a damaged car, and you take it to a motor mechanic, and it comes up as a new car, the value of that price is not the same. I'm just trying to put it as simple as possible. In doing so, during that process, you would have to engage quite a lot of other players, construction companies, security companies, and all that. The multiplier effect within the economy, just of the revitalization or refurbishment, it's huge. You end up creating jobs, you end up creating statistic within the inner cities and all that. So we as existing black landlords, to a large degree, are the ones who are continuing to make sure that it happens, because some established industries are now moving to new nodes out of the cities. So we have that commitment to ensure that that happens. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Just a few issues I thought I'd address. Honorable Nguni raised the issue on why black, why transformation, and I think it's very important to understand, which is why we had tried to put figures in the document to bring it to perspective. 90 to 95% of government tenanted buildings are owned by white owners. It is a fact. They belong to SAPOA. SAPOA represents 90% of all property owners in the sector. I'm the president-elect of SAPOA from 2012. As a president-elect, I can tell you now that as strong as SAPOA is, their Transformation and Government Liaison Committee is not strong enough to address black property owners. The committee was established 2 years back, Government Liaison Committee. I've taken it over now to make sure that as chair of that committee, we can address the issues. We have nothing against SAPOA, which is why I'm a member in both organizations and president-elect of SAPOA itself. But we know that internally SAPOA cannot address the issues because 90% of the property owners in SAPOA are white. And what affects them in terms of ownership is a far cry from what affects black people. Do we think that this organization should be based on skin color? The answer is yes. And the only reason why it should be based on skin color is because the other members who have property owners who happen to be white are not affected by the transformation issues that we see. The property charter took 7 years to come into fruition before it was gazetted. During the seven-year process, SAPOA was a big member of it, SIBIP was a big member of it, and even in the 7 years, the banks, the public enterprise spaces, the share schemes have outstripped the transformation that has taken place in the property industry. It is not meant to be discriminatory. It is only meant to make sure that the transformation in terms of property takes place and it happens. And more precisely, to take away this perception that black people are corrupt and that is the only way that they get leases. The members here want to show that we own property. We've done it. Mr. Nkuna has done it far better than many other black people who have done it, and he's not corrupt. And that is the message that we would like to drive across without discriminating against any other person. The relationship between BAGPO, SIBIP, and SAPOA, Honorable Steinheiser, is a very good relationship. It's a healthy relationship, which I repeat, due to my presence here, I can vouch that the relationship is strong. SIBIP is a professional body, professional services body, which is why the acronym South African Institute of Black Property Practitioners. BAGPO is a property owners organization. We are members of both, but we are affected differently as landlords. And I've been through what SAPOA does. So the relationship is strong, and that is your differentiation between the three organizations, and there are no problems at that level. The effect of a government lease and the funding side of it, I think it was Bob Maguban who raised that. We have been in a sector 70 years put together, and I'm going to use ourselves as an example. Our first transaction was to buy a property management business, which we own and control. That property management business looks after, in the property sector, small portfolio, it's about 2.5 billion. It is managed, controlled, run by women, based in the Pretoria area. It is a transformed, it is owned and managed by black people and black women. Not very strong on the disabled side, Honorable Sitole, but we are working on it. And out of that, we then realized that you would need to own property for you to play within that particular property sector. In the process of owning the properties, the government lease is the most sovereign type of instrument you can utilize to get funding from a bank. Not a blue chip company, not Vodacom, rates higher than a government lease. And that is the reason why Mr. Zungu has got the statement in the presentation that with a government lease, you can leverage up to 100% on the back of the government lease. Which is why it is important to explain to this committee that a government lease does not mean that we are corrupt. It was done wrongly. One incident has happened in the last few months, and that incident has tarnished that whole transformation sector for the committee. And because of that, the banks are now saying, whoa, let us have a look and see what is happening. Before the last few months, as my chairman has indicated, it is the best way in which government can transform the ownership of property in this country, simply because a government lease is sovereign. It is rated higher than Investec, higher than, well, after Moody's the other day, I think we are double A now. Mm. We are still, you can't take that lease anywhere else. You can, in the middle of a war in Angola with a government lease, BP will still move into your building. Why? Because government will honor its payment, government will sign a proper lease with you, and the lease process to approve it goes through so many different committees that even the banks regarded highly. So, which is why the 100% funding was alluded to in the presentation itself, and by far the best tool to use to transform the industry. Government owns land. They can help to fund it. They can put in programs in terms of education and educating people to come into the particular sector. And then, Honorable Gaila, constitution, board members, and the markets and the selling prices, we are in the process now of putting together a constitution which is going to guide and govern how we relate as a people between the organization. The board members you would have in the pack there, we have a committee which has been elected, represented by our chair, our deputy chair, and our secretary, and founder members. Because of the size or the number of members that we have currently, our fees are exorbitant at the moment because we believe in the cause and we would like to drive the cause very strongly. We have agreed that that will be open to any property-owning individual in this country who would like to join, because we believe that there's a reason for ownership to be addressed separately. The markets are they're driven by prices. Where you see prices now is primarily because of the boom we've had since 2003, 2004. It is very difficult for us to do anything in terms of the pricing in the market, and the main reason for that is that the average house in South Africa now is just over R1 million. Now that is ridiculous. It is impossible for anybody in this country who is not doing anything business-like or whatever to buy R1 million home. And that housing price index is reducing very slowly, but to get it within affordable means at the level that you indicated is going to be very difficult. But that is primarily supply and demand, and that's where, unfortunately, the market finds themselves. But without the transformation that we refer to, it will be impossible for people to try and acquire that those particular buildings. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Dr. Msuneki. Mr. Zungu?
Thanks, Chairperson. I think just to add to what my colleagues have said, I think there was a couple of questions that one of them was on slide 6, where the control by PLAF can be achieved without the assistance of established participants or share-based schemes. Now, I think going back to what has been said earlier, we need to understand to what context we're actually talking of here. Property is an asset, is a single-based asset that as a person, when you buy, if I use the residential house, when we all go buy our homes, you know, what does the bank look at to fund you? The bank looks at your income. They are merely matching what you can borrow versus your income, and they've got the house as collateral. Now, when we go and buy our homes, we buy our homes on our own. You don't ask your neighbor to help you buy your house. You don't ask your white manager at work or your boss to become a BE partner in owning a home. So the very same fundamentals transfer from the residential market to the commercial market. The commercial market is even more stronger because most of those assets are usually based on actual cash flows through leases, which are signed. Once the lease is signed, it's real. You can call upon it. It's defined cash flows for the future that gives the funders comfort in that you'll be able to pay for that loan. Now, the issue around transformation within the sector is once black people have got control of those assets, when you own your house, you decide who the gardener is, you decide who comes in to help you, you decide who you hire to paint the house, you decide who comes in to renovate the house. The same thing happens to a R250 million building. If a black company owns outright that building, they've got control of it, that black company now starts deciding who does the aircon, who does the lifts, who does the guarding, who does the cleaning. That's the type of transformation that we're talking about, and we're saying, but it starts with that owner being independent of anybody else but the institution that helps them to fund that particular purchase. And the caveat in the property space is that property is a very clear, straightforward case. You buy the building, it's either you're going to have revenue, someone's going to pay you rent, and you're going to service the building. Now, when you're buying into an IT company or a mining venture or whatever, you have no idea, even the funders, you are based everything on projections, what may or may not happen next year. Whereas in a lease, you know that come hell or high water, next year of January, you're going to be paid X for your rent. So the predictability of cash flows allows each buyer to be independent. So as black people enter the space, we start controlling, and control in this sector starts with one thing, ownership. It's the only thing. Then you can start figuring out who the underlying services go through. And that's why it is fundamental for us as South Africans to understand that wealth creation, creation of jobs and sustainability starts with property, whether it's personal property in your residential property or commercial property. We cannot ignore the impact that the property sector has on economic freedom and economic transformation. And I think that, you know, if I go back to the other slide, on the same slide where the ignorance of the established players, I think it is for those same reasons and others that have been mentioned as to why we believe that 95% of the beneficiaries of the government lease program, the white companies, they want to fight nail and tooth to make sure that blacks find obstacles in entering the space. Because they've got these leases that Sedisa has just mentioned, which are extremely lucrative. A government lease, you can get funding for. So we are entering the space, and we are saying the cake is big enough, but we want to enter this cake. We want to enter the space because we know how we can help to drive even greater transformation. You know, so what we've been seeing as fact is that there are obstacles. We are being marginalized as not just as the few players, but as black people in general, to say that no, you don't need to play in this particular space. We have examples where we've walked into white funds who own buildings. They look at you and say, are you sure you want to buy this building? You know, why don't you go and become a broker? This is not your game. Why do you want to do this? You know, don't you want a cleaning contract? Because they understand what this means. You know, if you take the $2.4 billion spent annually, if you convert that into an asset in the sector, we actually call it, if you aggregate that to a yield, that's a 25 billion rand a cake of the property sector that purely driven by our own government. But at the moment where black people are footnotes in that. And hence that's why, Chair, we say that in that article we said that government intervention is imperative, because we need to sit down and articulate where we want to be. Let's understand the actual bottlenecks and how to clean the processes, because again, the banks they love the leases, but they also want to make sure that there's due process. And that's what makes them nervous, is that if there's no due process, they get nervous. But they know exactly that they will want to fund clear-cut leases where there's due process. And our government, we have to engage, because we know the clout that government carries. You know, it is purely, government can decide tomorrow, actually, you know what, we're no longer doing leases. Actually, we will go out as government and buy all these properties and manage them ourselves. So, again, there are inherent issues through all of those things that we need to sit down and help to, because ultimately, the policies have already been set. They are there. You know, they need to be reviewed and rejigged and implemented properly. And we are saying that we want to be part of that process, because we understand the collective goal of driving transformation, not purely for transformation of its own, but that ability to continue to create work and create sustainability.
Thank you. Before our chair, our deputy chair just make a general comment. We just wanted to say, long term, our approach is that we will address the issues that have been raised by members of the committee in relation to gender representation, in relation to youth, in relation to disability, in relation to geographic spread. So we have commitment. And also we have got a commitment to assisting new entrants into the sector. The other thing that we want to also mention is that We are not a black organization that is funded by a white or any other established organization. We're funding ourselves. Because part of the problem, organizations get started, but they get their mandate from somewhere. So we want to put our mouth where our food is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is the intention. So as those ones who are already at a higher level, we were prepared to spend a little bit of money to make sure that we run an institution as a BAGPO professionally.
There are three follow-ups. Honorable Mngoni, Honorable Madlopa, or four, Honorable Geyla, and Honorable Ngwane. Ngwane,
okay,
apology. And before, I need to indicate that I made a mistake at the beginning. I should have indicated that there's an apology from the minister who's attending a social protection cabinet meeting. So that's the mistake that I did from the beginning. Over to you, Dr. Mngoni.
No, thanks, Chairperson. You know, I'm still not happy, or it's not about me, but it's about being worried about the black part. Why shall it not be a African part? What is black? Black shall exclude Indian colors. You know, I'm not sure what is black. No, that must be better explained. Perhaps the constitution, if we had a constitution, it would have explained better in the constitution. Now, you see, the question of transformation, actually, we are elected to ensure that transformation is taking place in the country. You were not making noise enough when you were in that support. What is
support.
Mm. You were a bit silent, very silent, if one may use those words. Because up to so far, I think all of us here, all members of parliament here, are not aware what is happening there. It's the first time that we hear that there is no transformation there. And you are saying to us, because we could not raise our voice very high enough there, therefore we decided to go and form our own little spava shop out there. You see? Mama, it's a worrying factor, Chairperson.
Can you mind your language in that I'm going to...
Okay, sorry if I'm used the harsher one. I will reduce it to a better one. My little worry would be, to me, you sound like a splinter group from the SAPOA, which could not address concerns that you have. But be that as it may, their constitution and your program is the one that shall have directed us that this is how you see yourself being, you know, competent, because you are saying you are going to compete with them at the level, at the level of this industry. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Madlopa.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thanks for the responses from the ECPO. Chair, we understand, in particular as members of parliament, that demographics in dividing the cake is critical, demographics of our country. Chair, we have got the property charter. I think because here we are talking about government intervention, to us as members of parliament, we think we have government have done the intervention through this property charter. And we think also Chapter 2 of our constitution, freedom of association, you know, is allowed. So whatever you do, I think you are within the context. And also, if you look at the objectives of the property charter, it talks about to promote economic transformation in the property sector in order to enable meaningful participation of black people, talks about black people, the charter, including women. And it also talks about unlocking obstacles to property ownership and participation in the property market by black people. Because we understand the gaps of the past, that's why government came up with this property charter, so that as they are talking about intervention, to say that government has intervened, to say that as black people in this sector, we must try, because, you know, united we stand, divided we fall. That's why I was asking about geographical representation, so that when you stand together and you speak with one voice, because otherwise we are not going to realize the transformation we are talking about. And also, I think it's in line with the Employment Equity Plan Act, which talk about designated group, because to address transformation, you must designate those people that were previously or still disadvantaged. I don't want to say previously, because we are still disadvantaged. So these are some of the things I think that we are saying good luck when we are dealing with that particular issue. And I also raised the issue of gender representation, because I believe the charter is talking to that. And on the control of ownership, they outlined that we are still not really well represented in that particular sector, and also zoom to the designated group. Women are part of that. Disabled people, as my colleague was saying, is part of that. So if you look at your constitution, I think these are some of the things that you have to take into consideration. Because to me, Honorable Chair, it can't be fair to say that when we are in the competition, I go there unarmed, and then we are saying that we must compete with armed people. We must start and become together, and then we share views and ideas, so that when we speak with one voice. And lastly, Chair, this thing, Section 9.4 of our charter, property charter, it's saying black people, women and designated groups who are already in the sector should be preferenced in case of any competitive bids for equity and ownership opportunities. That's why I'm saying, as government, we have come up with intervention. You must explore the opportunities. But thank you, Honorable Chair. I think also, because the issue of black, it's the words that we are using as government, and it's part of our charter. And I think all of us, we need to understand them going forward. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Maloba. All members, all of us, I think we have copies of property charter here, and that's why the member is quoting from it. The property charter talks about black ownership, and there are challenges. I think on page, I don't remember the page, but I can go through. There are challenges there that are stated to say why are we talking about black. So, Ntate Mungoni, I provided you with charter last week. I thought the charter will clarify the issue of black. Well, Ntate Mungoni, we'll debate that as a committee, because we need to, after this, still discuss about the presentation made here. But the charter is very clear. The purpose of the charter was to address the blackness that is there. Baba Gayla, you want to respond? You'll do it. Don't worry. Mm-hmm. And it was, he was just assuming whether you are. He was not on there. Baba Gayla.
Yeah, no. No, I am happy with your answers, and the market system of leather controlled by the big sector, that does not mean it's controlled by the cartel of the big sector, and
we politically, we are in charge, in control of the country. But land, property, is a big sector. That is why we have problems now. And even for the government doesn't own much land. They have a problem in even developing land for housing. Or they have to buy from the big sector. And they put their price, whatever the price is. Why I ask you that question, you see? And let us be sexual here. We need to break. I'm happy that you formed the same. You know, we just want questions of clarity. That's what we want, you know. We need to break that cartel. We need to. It's dangerous. And our youth one day will turn against us. The cartel that we need to break. I don't know how. Good luck that maybe you'll be able to break it. But on your answers, you say, I know that you have to be strict because there are a lot of fly-by-night. Even in the construction sector, you know, a lot of, but one just gets worried when Atatunguna, you've been in this market for some time, you know, that it is not easy for black young people or black women to own a commercial property. Let us be factual, yes. Mm-hmm. Let us be factual. So, one would then like to, that people like you, Tatunguna, you know, Umdala Gnavasana, that you come up with a program how to mentor, because there's a lot in the market. There's quite a lot for everybody. So, we have to encourage them to get in, you know. And maybe you come up with mentorship and all that. That's all that I'm worried about. If you can just come up with, you know, it's not easy. Somebody wants to come into the market, he's got the potential, but how does he own a commercial property, you see? So come up with some sort of a mentorship. How do you break them in there? While assessing, is this the right person? That is what one would like. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the responses from the SACCO. Chairperson, I think one of the main objectives of PAPCO coming here to give us the presentation was for us to work together and achieve something for our country. Why I mentioned the NYS, the National Youth Service, it's because of the many contractors that we are having. Actually, I wanted to suggest that I think in refurbishing your the buildings, I think you need to use the companies that are, or encourage the companies to be registered with CIDB. Why we need to do that is because in future we want, as a long-term achievement, we want those people to move from level 1 to level 2 to levels, because we have got thousands, hundreds of thousands of our youth and women registered with CIDB at level 1. They can't get the jobs. We're always using the big companies, the big established companies for this. That's why I said the main objective for establishing the National Youth Service was to get the youth to be hands-on on all these government buildings now owned by the black people. So what I'm trying to say is that please, whenever you employ those small companies, must make sure that they are registered with CIDB so that they move from one level to the next one. And in future, we want to have our own LTAs and all that by using the small companies. That's it. That's the small addition I wanted to, the women and people with disabilities.
Thank you very much. Babko, Mr. Msineke, you wanted to clarify something?
Yes. Thank you so much, Chair. Just to explain to Honorable Mguni, I wouldn't be I think president-elect of SAPOA if I did not believe in what SAPOA does. The only clarity I wanted to put forward was that there's no disgruntlement between BAGPO and SAPOA, and I think my chair will explain in terms of the splinter group. The only thing that I wanted to address, Chair, was that we believe in what SAPOA does. The only issue I was addressing was that in terms of the transformation issues that we are seeing, the government liaison committee, particularly within SAPOA, was not able to come forward and bring forth that we were looking for. So that's the only thing I want to clear, because I think it would be wrong for me to be president-elect and to accept that the SAPOA is falling and it's not doing what it's supposed to do. So that's the only thing I wanted to clear, Chair. SAPOA is a strong organization doing very well in the industry. They represent 90% of people, and a big chunk of the 90% is previously advantaged people. And therefore, those needs do not always become addressed. And your other challenge is that SAPOA has to represent white-owned companies, and they also have to represent black-owned companies. So that mandate always ends up being fudged. But please do not quote me as saying my own organization is not effective. I just wanted to correct that. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much. Chairperson, I think from my side, it will not be on for the veteran of property or whatsoever, Mr. Nguna, not to say anything in this meeting. I saw him raising his hand, and I think I played him down, and my apology. Mr. Nguna, over to you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
We just left the best for the last.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We are privileged to be here, indeed. And, question where, coming forward, I knew that, I've got, very strong soldiers. Some of them, I've mentored them. And I knew that, they'll be able to answer all those questions. But at the same time, as some of the questions were coming, there was a question which was asked, why black? And it made me feel that, I'm a proud man, because here am I, I'm black. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing it, being black. And black, in my understanding, it doesn't mean that, it's black, because you see, when we formed, this organization, it's a pity some of the members are not here. We do have Indians. We do have colors. So under normal circumstances, we know who are blacks. So there was it was not supposed to be a question about that. What I want to clarify is, property is an area which, we talk about, wealth creation. When we talk about wealth creation, it's property. And then without property, there's no wealth creation. Our government, since the formation of this new government in 1994, our government has tried, its level best, to transform most of the industries. We're talking about mining and other areas of industries that are existing within our country. They've managed to transform those sections with, distinction. But property is the most difficult one. And if you look back, and through our negotiations during CODESA, the only thorn issue, it was property, up until, there was a compromise. Willing buyer, willing seller. Which to me, it doesn't take us anywhere.
personally, where I come from, I started, you know, to see some light in this, you know, property sector in 1982. And at that time, you know, I was, you know, coming from an area called, you know, Giani, during the homelands, to Johannesburg. And I found myself in Soweto, and finding myself in Soweto during those days, the prominent people in terms of business in Soweto, it was Shabalala and Maponya. And I emerged 1985, and Maponya was owning, you know, a supermarket in Dube. Shabalala was owning, you know, AA2 in Mofulo. But it was not an organized development. But see, when I emerged, you know, I don't know, for those who know Soweto, along the Potchefstroom Road, you know, I emerged and developed, you know, a shopping center which is called, you know, Mangalani, before you turn to Protea North. It was the first organized shopping center. But it was not easy to develop that kind of shopping center. Hence, you see, this roadshow, you know, it's good, you know, to meet, you know, people that are working within, you know, the Portfolio Committee of Public Works, so that they understand how difficult, you know, there are two segments, you know, there's, you know, government properties that, you know, we've been, you know, focusing on. But on the other side, there's, you know, commercial development, which, you know, focus mainly on the retail, which is the most difficult one. And that one, I don't know how we're going to transform it, because that one, you know, it needs some creativity, it needs some brain. And if, you know, our people are not going to be taught about that one, it's going to be difficult to transform it. One, land is very expensive. For you to come with a development which will then work, you need to have, you know, a cheaper land, so that when you put, you know, your scheme and you put your feasibility study, which, you know, you'll end up taking it to the banks, right? The banks can say, you know, you've got a better air scheme. But see, if, you know, you have, you know, land which is very expensive, if you have land which is very expensive, when you then put a scheme on the land that is very expensive, remember, the tenants who are supposed to come in there, they've got, you know, a market-related rental which they have to pay. So, if your land is very expensive, it means that, you know, even if you have tenants, you'll have to overcharge them. And the likelihood is, you see, those tenants won't come. So, you won't have a scheme. So, what happened is, you see, I'm taking you through when I was developing, you know, the first development, because I've developed so many developments. We can finish, you know, the following day. I then, you know, submitted my loan application to put up that scheme. I was a bit fortunate because at that time, the regulations in terms of, you know, building, you know, a filling station in black areas was such that, you know, the oil company will have to get a site in a black township. But you see, at that time, the political environment was not conducive for the whites to come in black areas. So I happened to have bought, you know, a site. In those days, the sites were still cheap. And there was this oil company called BP. They wanted to come and develop, you know, on that specific site. So with that, I managed to negotiate, you know, for interest-free loan, which was supposed to be offsetted by, you know, in by form of rebates. In other words, when you pump a certain literage, you know, they'll give you a rebate to offset, you know, that loan.
So what happened is, you see, there was a shortfall of about 1.5 million. And I had to approach, you know, a bank, you know, at that time it was a permanent bank, which when they look at my loan of 1.5, my loan was declined. And I had, you know, almost 900,000, which was coming from BP, which was an interest-free. And when you look into it, I was not going to pay back that money. Because as I pump liters, that loan was going to be able to be repaid. But still, my loan was, you know, declined. But I didn't take that as an answer. I took it up to the CEO of Permanent Bank. At that time, he was Bob Tucker. I don't know whether you remember that name. And Bob Tucker said to me, I went to him, I said, no, look, my scheme qualifies everything in terms of tenants, in terms of everything, but still was declined. And what surprised me, Permanent Bank, they were supposed to be the tenant, but still was declined. And when he looked into it, he said, no, no, this was not supposed to have declined. He authorized it. So if I sat back, you know, I could have lost out. So how many people are having that spirit of fighting? Very few people. And today I've developed, you know, many, many shopping centers. Jabulani Mall in Soweto. By the way, the biggest shopping center, the first, is not Maponya, it's me. And people, you know, they're not aware because, you see, I'm not a person who runs to media every day once I've achieved something. The chair knows I've developed Giani. Giani is town because of me. Currently, we are on site. We're developing a 35,000 square meter in Soweto, which will be the third biggest. It's called Protea Land. And I'm proud about that kind of development because, you see, if you look at, you know, what we have done in terms of employment, we have gone in that area and say the people that are going to be employed must come from that area. And they must come with companies so that, you know, we can train them so that tomorrow they can become, you know, construction companies. So what I wanted to say, the commercial side is not an easy thing. Our government has formed policies which makes it much easier for black people to participate in properties. And I'm saying, you know, those policies, you know, government must see to it that, you know, are implemented. Because if those policies are not implemented, there won't be any transformation. So for blacks, you know, to participate in the commercial one, which is the most difficult one, you know, we need to start from the government leases, which currently, when you look to the statistics, it's only 3% which has been given to blacks. So we need to see that, you know, more and more, you know, those leases must go to blacks. And we need to see that, you know, as those leases expires. Government currently, they've got, you know, this, you know, policies to say, you know, 100% a black get, you know, 10-year, and then a 5-year lease, it can be a partnership, but that, you know, it won't help in terms of, you know, transformation. I'm saying, as those leases, you know, expires, government must put them on a month-to-month so that, you know, we force them.
Thank you very
much.
Thank you,
Mr. Nkuna. Chairperson, I think we need to close this meeting.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, we just want to say thank you very much, and we are also ready to have a second bite with the committee. And we are also ready to also give also a little story of what we are also capable of doing, because we are not here to complain. We are here to say to you, we want to make South Africa work. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson of PACO. Honorable members, I think we have come to the end of this meeting, and I would like to indicate to them that we thank them very much for the presentation made here this morning, and to say the committee, portfolio committee, will still deliberate on your presentation. Thanks very much. Hoping to see you next time. I don't know our visitor. The gentleman who came in just now, is it part of you? Okay.